Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Jeff. So Jeff, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Jeffrey Foss. I live in Dallas, Texas, and I'm the director of sales for Purpose Purple Tea.
Awesome. So how did you get your job?
Great question. I've been in the non-alcoholic beverage business for 20 plus years. And I was actually working with a local distributor trying to add other beverage lines to their portfolio when I met the founder, Chi Nguyen. And, you know, we got to talking and it just ended up being a really good fit. And I came over to her team to become the director of sales.
Awesome. So when it comes to selling non-alcoholic beverages, obviously with alcohol, there's different facets you have to work through distributors. So what are some of the challenges, you know, or biggest challenge that you deal with now in 2023?
It's a very different ball game. I think it depends on the channel you're in, right? I mean, in some channels, like when you get into convenience, a lot of the space is bought and paid for. So it's a lot of fighting for space and trying to keep it. Also, I think it depends on what category you're in. The tea category is very, very competitive. So for us, that's always a challenge. You look at the Pepsis, the Cokes, the Keurig Dr. Peppers, and so on. They have an option for tea. So how do you find your space in retail when you have these kind of big guys who have really big wallets? So it's just all just trying to decide where to go and where to spend your resources and how to attack it at that point.
So when it comes to finding your space, man, that's a good point. So what has been the biggest space per se for Purpose Tea? Is it direct to consumer, retail? And if it's retail, what types of stores are you in and or are you targeting?
It's a combination. DTC has been very good to us. I feel like we've done a really good job in that space. From a retail perspective, we've tried a lot of things in a lot of territories, but I think where we've really found our home for now is in gourmet and natural. For example, in the Texas Plus kind of Southwest area, if you will, Whole Foods, Central Market, a lot of the independents out there, like here in Dallas, Ann's, who has 5 stores. I think we found a lot of success there. And then more recently, we found a lot of success in corporate campuses. We just got Southwest Airlines corporate campus, and we're really, really doing well there. Cafes and delis we've recently delved into, and that's been really successful for us. But it's been a little bit of trial and error. You know, you kind of have to get out there and go, hey, this is the right space for us. And then you get in there and go, okay, maybe it wasn't, or yeah, this is perfect. Now, how do we build on that?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas too. So like I live about 10 minutes from Southwest Airlines. So I'm curious, you're one of the first people that have mentioned corporate sales, right? It's a very interesting channel. So what does that look like for you? I think, for example, Southwest, you know, is sort of hybrid. So is it like they're giving it away for free to their employees? Or are they selling it? Like, what do these partnerships look like?
They're selling it. I feel like it's a really great channel in a lot of ways because it's a little less competitive than a retailer. Technically, I mean, there's a lot less, hey, you know, buy 2 for $3 or whatever it is. It's more of like, all right, hey, what do you want today for lunch? I feel like those corporate campuses are looking for new items, whether it's a beverage like Purpose Tea, or if it's, you know, hey, we want to offer a new sandwich or a new breakfast item, because hey, if you're in an office building all the time and you're going there for lunch, breakfast, dinner, you want something different or change of pace. So I feel like it's a little less competitive and they're looking for new items. Whereas in traditional retail, there's so many people driving at that. And again, in Central Market and Whole Foods, where we really found a good home, everybody wants to be there. It's a see and be seen, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I love how you kind of think outside the box with these corporate partnerships. So in terms of, like I mentioned earlier, right? I mean, like many companies are hybrid, and you know, more people are working from home. So I'm not sure when this partnership started, but I'm sure that probably impacts sales a bit as well, right?
Sure. You know, we're new to the corporate space, but even in talking with, you know, Southwest or the people that manage it at Fuda, which is the people we work through. I think it's been a challenge and a learning experience, you know, like how many days a week are people actually in-house? Is it, you know, 2 days a week and then it grows and it's all just a bit of a process to figure out. We're just happy to be figuring it out with them at this point in time, really.
Awesome. So for somebody that's never tried Purpose Tea, can you describe what it, you know, sort of like the taste and what separates you from your competition?
Sure. I think from just what separates us is there's, you know, green tea, there's black tea, there's white tea. It all comes from the same bush. White tea is a younger version of it. What purple tea really is in the mountains of Kenya, when they first discovered it, it was a tea that they found had these purple reddish leaves to it, right? And they're kind of like, okay, what are we doing here? Are these bushes ruined or what's going on? And what they found was the purple tea leaves were because it was so high up and closer to the sun that the purple leaves were, you know, kind of protecting the plant itself. The, you know, benefit of that being purple tea leaves was that it had higher antioxidants, lower caffeine from a consumer perspective. As far as a flavor, and I think this is really great for us in the category, what makes us really approachable is it tastes like a tea, right? So while we have better health benefits to our product, it's a very familiar flavor. A lot of people have described it, consumers have described it to me as a blend between a green tea and a black tea or a green tea and a oolong tea. But also people who aren't as studied in teas just say, okay, it just tastes like tea. Hey, your peach tea tastes like peach tea. You know,
that's awesome. So I was checking out your website and it's really nice. Like I love how like you have right on there, somebody subscribes to your newsletter, they save money. So how effective has that channel been for growing this company?
It's been great. I mean, I think that the D2C has, I think, done a few things. We're really heavy as far as where our, you know, retail distributions concerned in the Pacific Coast, SoCal, NorCal, Pacific Northwest, kind of that Rocky Mountain region, Michigan, Texas, and New York. But if you're in, say, Columbus, Ohio, and you happen to have visited Dallas, Texas, and, you know, stayed at the Omni Hotel and saw, hey, we have, you know, Purpose Purple Tea available on the in-house menu, and you tried it, you loved it, man, I want this tea again. Your availability to it through D2C is great. And that helps us out in my experience in a lot of ways. One is sales, which is phenomenal. I'll take it. But two, I think it primes other markets for us, you know, for the day that we are available in a Columbus, Ohio. So that's been great for us, the availability. I think the challenge within that from a beverage and specifically Purpose Tea perspective is, you know, it's a 16-ounce glass bottle, right? And a 12-pack is really heavy. So the freight becomes really kind of a challenge for pricing, right? So, but it's been a channel that's been really good to us. We've developed it really well, I feel, and we hope to continue to develop it.
Do a lot of people subscribe to your newsletter as well?
It's been good. It's been good so far. Yeah, I think between the interest in a new tea, a new category, and then also in just, you know, what the purpose and Purpose Tea is drawn a lot of people or drawn a lot of people to us. Purpose Tea being that our founder, Chi Nguyen, created this brand, but also one of the purposes in, no pun intended, in creating this brand was that, you know, the tea workers where we draw all our tea from in Kenya, Africa, have some challenges. It's about 85% female just because of the delicate nature of picking tea. Within that, in Kenya, you only have a state-sponsored education until eighth grade, right? So that, you know, for giving yourself to lift up in your life, that's very difficult. Also, you know, land management, mostly, you know, the land's passed down to the male son. So really, females don't have a lot of land ownership, especially within tea farms. And then, you know, on top of that, the wage isn't very high. You're talking about $1.50 or so a day. So a portion of our profits go back to those tea workers to give scholarships to their children, to, you know, continue their education, to help, you know, some of these female tea workers come together and maybe purchase their own tea farms and so on and so forth. So we've had a really, really great response, whether it's, you know, on our website or at retail, just people really wanting to support it and saying, hey, this is good liquid, but, you know, I feel good about buying this good liquid.
It's amazing to also have, you know, a strong purpose behind what you're doing. So I was just curious, because I think there's a lot of debate per se now when it comes to selling on other channels like Amazon. for example, which is, you know, also e-commerce, but it's not per se D2C directly. Are you selling on Amazon or other channels as well, or are you really just focused only on driving traffic to your website?
We're doing both. I mean, I think it's a challenge because Amazon, you know, has such reach, right? You know, there's so many people that are, I think, just, you know, dialing in and saying, I mean, and I'm guilty of it as well, that like, hey, Amazon, oh, I'm, you know, on the road, you know, in Michigan dealing with my distributor there. What can I have there when I'm home? But we try to be available on as many, you know, options as possible. We've had those conversations where, I, you know, on our website, frankly, it is less expensive to buy it through PurposeT.com, but you know, there's still a lot of numbers through Amazon. So you know, I think availability is kind of key, especially for where we're at as a brand right now.
Sure. So when it comes to your website and getting sales, what role does AI play into it, or is that something that you haven't utilized so much yet?
I really can't answer that because our founder Chi Nguyen manages most of that. I don't think we've had any involvement with AI at this point in time. I do feel like it's something we need to look into. I feel like that the general environment around AI is still, you know, it's new, it's virgin territory, right? And there's so many opinions of like, oh man, you know, AI, you know, people are going to take over or whatever, you know, like the robots are going to have it. But I think it's really just a useful tool that we need to understand how we can utilize it to improve our own business and make things easier on ourselves.
So when it comes to AI, do you feel like, you know, maybe just in general, whether it's for a purpose or just any e-commerce brand, that having something like a 24/7 AI chatbot would provide value for e-commerce companies?
I don't know enough about it to give you a really good answer on that, Dan, but I would love to discover more.
Yeah, it's something that like we're working on now. So it's something that I'm always curious about because it's like what I've noticed is that a lot of times people are seeking more information or they're reaching out in different parts of the world at different time zones. And it kind of, you know, streamlines the customer service process, something that I found. So in terms of PurposeT in sales, right, you mentioned that you focus more on Whole Foods and Central Market here in Texas, some smaller chains. So are you looking into expanding into other retail chains, you know, maybe Target or Walmart or places like that?
I think there's an eventuality to that. I think what's most important for us and what we've realized is let's find where our immediate consumer is, the one, you know, and a lot of that is the early adapters. And I think your Whole Foods, your Central Market, you know, maybe your Market Streets, I'm sure you're familiar with, they're a little bit more open to like, you know, not only looking at, you know, new brands, but maybe looking for new brands. So I think that's where we've targeted early and tried to really find our success there. But, you know, do we eventually want to be everywhere and have that kind of availability? Yeah, I think so. But I think we're trying to be really calculated about how we use our resources as a smaller brand, as a smaller, you know, kind of local Texas company. We want to make sure we use it right. And we don't want our distribution to outpace our awareness and marketing. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I'm curious in terms of how you leverage that channel, because like some people who we interview, they say, well, the retail per se is not going to be a great channel for sale, but it's more like a marketing channel. So I guess like, you know, or I guess what have you seen so far, or how are you like looking to leverage being in retail versus, you know, Amazon or e-commerce?
I think there's a partnership as far as our brand's concerned. I think it really depends on the brand. And, you know, again, going back to the DTC and our weight and our freight being a bit of a challenge there, I think that they are more of two puzzle pieces fitting together. There's maybe depending on like if you get out to California and you're Erewhons of the world where it's more of a marketing play than an actual sales play. I feel like it isn't as much of a marketing. It's more about sales, though we do market heavily there. But I think the two can be really conjoined because, you know, there's an individual that could go to Central Market because they love, you know, a fancy mustard for $8 and, you know, whatever else, fresh produce there. But they discover our brand there and then go, hey, I really love PurposeT. I want this available. And, you know, I only go to Central Market once a month, but hey, I'll get on Amazon or PurposeT.com and order it to my home. So I think it's more of them working in tandem at this point in time. But, you know, honestly, the two of them working together is I think, very important as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I see, you know, I see this trying to gear towards e-commerce. Like, what does e-commerce even mean? I mean, e-commerce can mean somebody going on Instacart and ordering from their home, and the person goes and picks them up and delivers to them, and it's at the store. Because I think it's like people now are going more towards convenience. So if the convenience can be like they're sitting at their home and order from DoorDash, it's still sort of like e-commerce, but it's not, they can get in 30 minutes or 1 hour, as opposed to ordering something to get in 2 days, right?
For sure. You know, I think that that's where the market's going more. And I think that's something I'm very curious about is I've been in this for, like I said, 20 some years. And, you know, from when it first started, I was like, okay, that's, you know, that's kind of a cute little thing to where, you know, a lot of huge vendors, a lot of huge retailers are so focused in on it. And it's, okay, how do we make sure we're not missing out on this piece of the pie is very important. And I think even within those retailers of, you know, we have several sales agents that have come back to me and said, hey, you know, and no offense to the brand, like, hey, we're, you know, on sale at Whole Foods at, you know, X price, you know, 2 for $4, but on their website, when you order in, we don't have that retail price. What can we do about it? I think it's very important to look at both sides of that. I ordered from the Tom Thumb down the street when I was in between Zoom calls, you know, a bunch of groceries today. So I think something that's very key to lock in on, and how do you grow within that? How do you promote yourself within that?
I was just curious, you know, you mentioned that you've been in this industry for a long time. So what does it take for someone to be, you know, successful in this industry?
You know, I think I was taught really early on just to stay focused, you know, keep your eyes and your ears open, and just stay purposeful, no pun intended. And I think the biggest thing for me has just been learning through experience over the years. Like, that's really what's provided the most success for me, and the success that I give to my sales team. Success I share with my founders, just like, hey, we don't have to do it this way, but here's what we did it, you know, the way we did it at this company, here's the way we did it at that company, and then learning from success, and even more importantly, learning from mistake. And I've been with some brands where you've gone too wide, too fast, where, you know, there's that, you know, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep, or an inch deep and a mile, you know, an inch wide and a mile deep. So I think that's just learning from experience, keeping your eyes open, you know, keeping your finger on the pulse of the market.
So I guess, how have your connections that you've made come into play? Because I feel like that's really important, obviously, like you have these kinds of relationships that you build with different people, even working with different companies. You know, how has that come into play being in the industry for this much time?
I think it's really important. You know, I think that's in any industry. You know, you have these huge, you know, billion-dollar industries that are so really small at the end of the day. And it's one of those things, whether it's a distributorship, a retailer, or, you know, other suppliers, that you build your own reputation. And it's really easy to, you know, maybe at one company get away with some things. But if you want to be in it a long time, you're not going to get away with that. So I think that's been really important. I've got distributorships I've done business with for years and years that you walk in and, yeah, they're going to evaluate the product and its potential and the pricing, the profitability, but there's a certain, you know, amount of trust in yourself and your knowledge of the industry that makes that process easier. No one's going to just let you in the front door, but if you go, hey, look, here's a product, here's why I think it's going to work for you, and here's what, you know, the logistics are, it definitely helps.
Awesome. So in terms of, like, for example, like closing these big deals, right, with these big companies, I mean, like, what specifically does it take? I mean, like you mentioned, obviously, that you have these relationships. You talk about, like, the value of the product. But, like, what specifically does it take to actually go from, you know, saying, hey, this product could work for you, and then actually getting them to sign the check at the end of the day?
I think it's those things. I mean, I think that trust helps, but it's not some deal where, like, hey, it's Jeff, it's cool, he's got Jeff's water, like, let's bring it in. You know, it's not that kind of deal. It's understanding what their needs and desires are. What do they want, right? Like, what is their profitability needs? What are their, you know, promotional needs? You know, what's going to make a product work for them? Kind of what are their bells and whistles? Like, okay, they've got this great program where they, you know, mail some samples out, or they have a program where, like, okay, you have this end cap for a bit of time to promote it, you know. So it's understanding them. And then it's also, I think, understanding the market and what's their market and relating that to them. I mean, you know, what works for a central market might not work for Walmart, you know, and they're kind of a questicle, right? So it's coming to them and saying, hey, here's my product. Here is financially why it works for you. And then here's why your customer is going to want to pick this up. Oh, and then by the way, here's how we're going to help your customer get awareness and bring them in to purchase the product.
So is it like a pretty long sales cycle for these deals with these retailers or with these corporations?
It really depends. I mean, the bigger ones normally will have specific periods where they'll say, hey, we're reviewing, you know, tea and juice during November of 2023. And then that will come into effect March or April. That's when we'll redo the sets. Some of the smaller, more regional ones will say, you know, hey, we only have 30 stores. We like what you're doing. You know, bring it in. We'll get it in within the next 2 months. So it really, really depends. But it can be very, very, you have to be a little bit strategic with it. When you come in, you might say, hey, man, we really belong in this. You know, we belong in Whole Foods, Great Lakes up in the Chicagoland area. And you're like, man, we should be there tomorrow. And they're like, hey, we don't review that category for 6 months. So that can be complicated. It can be a little frustrating if you're in your mind, you're like, hey, we know we belong there. And our founder knows that, and our board knows that. But it sometimes you have to be a little bit patient and a little more calculated.
So are they reviewing it also like every year? Are they coming back saying, hey, we're selling this much? And it's like, is that, I think essentially like kind of how it is, like a 1 year contract saying, hey, listen, we're going to try out your product for a year. And if it's not selling well, then we'll pull it.
Within reason, yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's so direct as that. But yeah, I mean, it's real estate. So, and the real estate for them is very, very valuable because how much they sell off of those shelves matters what their profitability, whether their stores survive. So it's something they analyze on an annual basis, at least, if not, you know, more than that. There are some stores that have semi-annual reviews where it's like, hey, you didn't cut it after 6 months. You know, they don't normally do that, or, you know, it's been a year and a half and you're not quite hitting the marks. We need to find something else that makes that cut. So that's why it's so important to approach them and support them in the right manner. You know, hey, do we have the right promotional calendar? Hey, normally we're $2.99, but we're 2 for $5, you know, 4 times a year. And, you know, here's the timing of it. It's very purposeful. So yeah, it can be very important. And it can be a little stressful that you're like, all right, what do we need to do to make sure that we're in here next year, especially in the beginning? You know, I think after you get some experience and your consumer base up, it's less stressful as a brand. But in the beginning, it can be something that you really need to focus on.
So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started your career?
Oh, man. I think going back to that, the real estate part is really important. And then how to support that. Just like, and then also just listening to your both your customer and your consumer. Listening to, you know, what the customer's needs and directives are, whether it be that for that year, for the next few years. We're fortunate enough to be, you know, a female and minority owned company. And for a lot of companies, that's really important to them now. So that gives us, you know, an advantage, you know, and then from a consumer base, what does the consumer want? Because if you understand what the consumer wants, you can help market to them and you can help your retailer understand that as well, which helps with your sales cycle.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing like the best way to get in contact with you or maybe like the company website?
Sure. Well, we're purposetea.com, but my email is jeff@purposetea.com, and I'm happy to take any questions. You know, I'm kind of a nerd for the CPG thing, so I'm always willing to listen and willing to help whenever I can.
Sounds great. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully, you guys have a great Q4 ahead. And yeah, thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.